Where's our host gone?
No, I'm here. I'm still here.
Is that it, man?
Hey, welcome to 2020.
Sorry. I did a fitness class online this morning. The kids at fucking 6:30 did me boxing class.
That just like mine doing a beep test yesterday.
Really?
Did you? Yeah.
Out in the garden, deadly.
Yeah, homeschooling, right? We're going to do 8 hours of PE.
I got a tip for one at Greyville yesterday. That's when I knew I reached
rock bottom.
No, it didn't. No. Yeah. Cool. From the intro or from the very top, from the pre-roll as well? Cool.
No pressure, Tom, but we're all relying on you.
No worries, Paddy. We'll get through this together.
Tiger roll is remarkable. He comes up towards the winning line under Davy Russell to win his second round of Health Grand National. Tiger
Desert Orchid, watch history being made. Rolls of applause.
Towards the last flight in the champion hurdle, and it's Annie Power comes towards it now. She's about four lengths clear. This year she jumped it perfectly.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of From the Horse's Mouth. It's a self-isolation special this week. I speak to you from Kilkenny, 140 kilometres away. Paddy Power is holed up in Dublin, and around 80 kilometres away, Mr. Ruby Walsh is on the line from his Kildare base. But the good news is we do have racing in Ireland. We'll get a bit more insight on that from HRI's Director of Communications, Jonathan Mullen. We'll also be looking back at the Cheltenham Festival. Frank Hickey remains all over the markets and will be on the blower to help us find a winner. All that and more right here on From the Horse's Mouth. Yes, I'm Tom Nugent, and you're very welcome along to the latest edition of From the Horse's Mouth. You didn't think we'd let you down, did you? No, we're soldiering on. A bit of social distancing simply cannot stop this podcast. Of course, there are one or two changes to the usual routine, I should say. No studio today. That's the big one, as I mentioned earlier. We're all kind of pretty much scattered across Ireland. So let's test the lines and see if everything's working properly. Ruby, can you hear me?
This is like the Eurovision Song Contest. Kilkenny calling Kildare. Yeah, I'm here.
And Paddy, Dublin, can you hear me? Paddy,
I can't hear you at all, actually. Genuinely, I see a picture of the big feckin' red face on my little WhatsApp screen, but the sound isn't great. But we'll work on it. We'll see how we go.
Okay, well, that's a semi-relief. If you can't hear me, then
I'd say if Paddy just turned up the volume, it might help.
Yeah, it might help a little bit. You see, he's operating off one of those ear pod things
is it just me, or has everybody's Wi-Fi gone a bit?
Oh,
he's
gone. For fuck's sake. You're back now. You dropped off.
I'm back, yeah.
So yeah, much
but has everybody's Wi-Fi gone a bit slow?
No, that's just Dublin.
Dublin Wi-Fi. Me. Yeah. Okay. I'd say you're on the cheap package, eh?
Yeah, probably am. Yeah, Jane's pretty thrifty, like, so I'd probably sign up to the expensive one, then when I turn around she has me like paired back. She cancelled Sky on me the other day. I have a secret on the other TV she doesn't know about, so it's grand.
Obviously, Jane is not one of our listeners.
No, for sport. Yeah. She definitely isn't one of our listeners. I can guarantee you that anyway.
Well, that's a relief. It's good to see you're all safe and well. It's been a bit of a hectic week, Ruby, hasn't it? It's strange times.
Very strange, very weird. Scary, I suppose, in a sense as well, Tom. But look, I don't know what to think, to tell you the God honest truth. I haven't a clue. It is very weird, very strange, but I have definitely realised that I did not miss a call in being a teacher.
No, of course, Paddy, you're in the same boat. All a house full of children at the moment. No cabin fever just yet. Are you getting them through? Are you kind of keeping them occupied?
Yeah, we're lucky enough that the three younger ones are young enough that it's still a bit of an adventure. They're calling myself and Jane Mr. and Mrs. Power, and we're teaching. Like Ruby, I keep doing it, right, rugby training again, but a bit of soccer training, then we'd have a bit of, I don't know, whatever, playing chase and training, but apparently we have to do schoolwork as well, which is a bit of a pain. But it's, you know what, you just get on with it. And I think it's like Ruby said, like, I don't have a clue what to think. I mean, it's scary because you're all worried about your parents and family and all that kind of stuff. And I just try to do the best you can and just like not get too freaked out about it, not listen to too much news and all that kind of stuff, and just maybe tune in every now and again. But try and use it as a bit of an opportunity to get the family back together.
I just realised that, thank God for Google Translate, because how on earth would you do the Irish homework without it?
Are you not the Leaf Ask Gaeilge at this stage, Ruby, no?
Oh, I swear to God, I was looking at it there the other day and I was translating words, and even Google was nearly telling me, I can't believe you don't know this.
Yeah, you're a disgrace.
I was waiting for Google to say that to me.
As I said, it certainly feels a long time since the end of the Cheltenham Festival. I mean, on Tuesday, even before Paddy's hangover had disappeared, we got the bad news through from the BHA that the Grand National meeting at Aintree was cancelled, and UK racing would be pretty much suspended or definitely suspended until May at the earliest, with a HRI announcement planned for Wednesday this week. We feared Irish racing might take a similar route, but fortunately for us, the Irish authorities instead chose to continue racing, albeit with increased restrictions and a modified fixture list. This weekend sees racing at Thurles on Saturday on ITV Racing. The feature there, a Grade 3 novice chase. We've got the Ulster National at Downpatrick on Sunday, and the Flat gets going a Naas on Monday as well. More on those races a little bit later. Here at From the Horse's Mouth, we're delighted to have some racing to keep us going, but it can't have been an easy decision. Earlier this morning, I spoke to HRI's Director of Communications, Jonathan Mullen. Jonathan, how are you?
Very good, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Obviously, strange times, testing times, and it's a very difficult time for a lot of people and a lot of industries, and particularly racing. But Horse Racing Ireland have decided to kind of keep the show on the road for the time being. Would you like to talk us through that decision-making process and maybe the kind of rules and regulations that are in place now for people going racing or not going racing, I should say?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, extremely difficult time for the world over. And no matter what industry you're in, I think the most important thing is that everybody is safe and look after ourselves and our families and our communities. What we've tried to do is to try and keep the racing industry going, an industry that employs a lot of people, especially in rural Ireland. And we want to make sure that racecourses, which offer, endless opportunities for social distancing, given the space there, that they are safe places for our industry to continue on. So last week we brought in that signage has to be displayed all throughout the racecourse, that contact details for all racecourse attendees must be recorded. There must be sanitation units everywhere, door handles, all those things that might be obvious. Places that need to be disinfected will be done so regularly. Jockey saunas are closed, and I suppose that led to a small change this week, Tom, where we saw it in Victoria as well in Australia, where we've raised the weights for jockeys in both flat and national hunt by £2. And in the weigh room, which is the key place really to try and make sure that the social distancing has been adhered to, racecourses have done extraordinary work to open up rooms all over the racecourse to make sure the jockeys have space between each other and that they can adhere to that 2 metre rule. We have to pay a tribute to the jockeys, to the trainers, to the grooms, and to the racecourses, the IHRB, all the people that have made this possible. I think there's been a really, really good reaction. We also have a designated isolation room at each racecourse, in the event that people present with virus symptoms. Thankfully, that hasn't been used yet. And since Wednesday, we're now not permitting owners to be on site either. So it's very much key personnel, the minimum amount of people possible to hold a race meeting. That's all that will be there. And likewise, you might have seen last weekend where Robbie Powell rode the winner of the first, wasn't riding for a couple of races, and then left the racecourse and isolated in his car until he was needed again. And that's the kind of diligence and cooperation we need from everybody to make this possible. Once your business is done on the racecourse, you are to leave. And that's what's happening. It's working so far. But again, this is a very, very dynamic situation. We're in contact with government and the HSE all of the time to make sure and to reassure that we're adhering to the strictest protocols possible.
As you say, Jonathan, a dynamic situation indeed, and things are constantly changing. Is from a HRI perspective, is the situation constantly under review, or what kind of processes are you guys taking? Are you meeting daily to kind of review the situation?
Yes, it's formally under a daily review, but it's much more, much more often than that. We're talking about it all the time. Every single meeting that we have is reviewed with the IHRB. And to make sure that, and with all our stakeholders as well, to make sure that everybody is comfortable, everybody's safe, and the protocols have been strictly followed. So it is very much a daily thing. Likewise, the board convene at least weekly to make sure that the instructions laid down, that they have been followed as well. You know, it is a balance. You want to make sure that you have a safe as possible environment for people to work in a very strained time, and also striking that balance between trying to keep an industry going. And I think that is the key thing. You know, we need to respond if things change. We're very aware of that. Obviously, there is the medical situation where at the moment we have Ordo Malta ambulances, which are a different scenario than they are in Britain, in that the Ordo Malta is run entirely by volunteers in Ireland. And it has been put on standby by the National Ambulance Service to assist the Irish government and the HSE when it's needed. But they haven't been called on yet. And they've confirmed their commitment to support Irish racing when and if until that situation changes. So the government are very aware that once the ambulance service or our medical facilities are needed, they get it instantly and racing stops. But that hasn't happened yet.
Look, I know there's no decision imminent on bigger meetings down the line, but is that something that you guys are thinking of now, the likes of the Irish National, the likes of Punchestown? Are they more likely to kind of be behind closed doors? I know this is a constantly changing situation, but obviously the Irish National in the short term is probably going to be behind closed doors, but Punchestown particularly, a lot of people would be looking forward to it, maybe have tickets bought. When would a decision be made on that, or would it just be played by ear for now?
Not to give you a short answer, it is very much played by ear. Obviously, we're very aware they're coming up. We're very aware that horses and people are being prepared for these big spring festivals. They're very important festivals in the Irish calendar. But this is very much on a daily basis. We have fixtures up until the 29th of March. That's the date the government has penciled in for the current protocols. And we're not really looking past that at the moment, Tom, to be honest with you. You know, the race courses are continuing with their preparations. It's a nervous time and anxious time for them all. But in context, you know, this is a public health crisis, and we must put it in context.
Jonathan Mullen, thank you very much indeed for your time, and mind yourself, stay safe.
Likewise, Tom. Thank you.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Ruby, obviously tough times for everyone, but we've seen the hospitality industry kind of laying off jobs, and where the part of the reason behind keeping racing going in Ireland is to protect a lot of jobs, isn't it?
That's the idea, Tom. Look, obviously, if you work in anything to do with social life, it's been closed down. Sport, most sports are closed down. But horse racing is more than just sport. And what we see is the shop window at a race meeting is only the shop window. The layers underneath that are huge, from stable staff to studs, vets, farriers. The list goes on endless. Even go back as far as feed companies, farmers supplying hay, and you can't just close the gate and tell the horses you'll see them in 3 weeks' time. They have to be minded anyway. But the racing is only the shop window. And to be fair to Horse Racing Ireland and the IHRB, they have trimmed the race meetings right back to the bare essentials. And it's remarkable how few people you need to run a race meeting. There's nothing there, only the actual race. There is no catering, no food, no bookmakers, no nothing. And because they're outdoor venues, they are possibly a little bit easier to keep social distancing in. So I can see why they're doing it. How long it's going to last, I don't know. That'll depend on how soon the government may need the ambulances or the doctors, none of which are government. We don't use government ambulances or government doctors. They're turf club doctors, and the Order of Malta is what's used. But when the government wants them, they'll just be given. So racing will only continue as long as it has the medical staff. And hopefully, if racing can continue, it means the country doesn't need the medical staff, and that'd be a good thing for everyone.
Paddy, these are strange times, but a little bit of normality or sense of on the television on an afternoon is actually, it's kind of keeps you a little bit sane, doesn't it? They've been able to tune into the race.
Well, it's there's something in that. Yeah, I mean, you're really, like as Ruby said, I mean, you just got to believe the reasons for racing going ahead and not trying to be too cynical about it and not trying to get like there's obviously. Don't be getting your news from social media. Generally, I think it's good advice from Leo Varadkar the other night and Paddy's night when he made his announcement. But yeah, some sense of normality. Like we're all going bananas listening to too much news, really, and checking in once or twice a day is probably the best way forward. But I think having a bit of sport, something you're used to on TV, does kind of give you, I don't know, some escape, I guess, from what's going on. I mean, you can only watch so much kabaddi.
We've kind of touched it already. It's time for Why the Long Face. Being stuck at home with the family, lads, it's tricky, and you're still coping okay though. It's not a complete disaster, is it?
No, that's definitely not the long face for me. I'm actually enjoying that, so I am. But I think we will try and be some bit trivial here in such serious times. And I think definitely the lack of cappuccino is the long face for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you not? I'd say you could buy a milk steamer off of Amazon there and get it delivered to the house, could you? And try and make it.
If you shake the milk loads, right? Does that not like make it kind of bubbly?
No, we've been venturing out maybe and getting the odd one here and there, but I'm used to 3 or 4 of them a day. This is definitely why the long face. It's actually giving me a pain in the head.
It's probably good for you though.
Paddy, what about you, Paddy?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, like barring the bleeding obvious. Long face would be there's so many things to be pissed off about at the moment, isn't it? Like there really is. It's like I think having to be a parent, like being a full-time parent is hard. Like
you'd advise against it, would you?
Well, I no, like sorry, it's really rewarding, obviously. But no, it's tough. Like it's full on. Jeez, they don't stop. 4 of them as well. Jesus. My wife deserves a medal.
More than a medal.
Still, it has to be done, fellas. If anyone was in any doubt about the importance of self-isolation, this guy wanted to have a word with them.
We don't go out. We don't go to restaurants. We don't do anything like that anymore here. We just eat with whiskey and with Lulu. We have a good time. Huh? Oh, yes. So much more fun than going outside. No more restaurants, okay? No more restaurants, forget all that. Public gatherings, restaurants, and all those gymnasiums out the window. We stay home.
Did you see that video of Arnold Schwarzenegger feeding a pony and a donkey at his kitchen table? No, did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It's actually...
Are you sure you didn't dream that, Tom?
No, that's a real thing that happened.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Time for Racing Gold now. And if you thought we were cheating by having Paisley Park just a year after his big win, this clip is only a week old. Of course, it must be gold. Because it's the Gold Cup.
It's Album Photo on the far side. Lost in translation. Santini between them. Real Steel. And then Monalee at the final fence. And both the leaders coming up well. Album Photo on the far side of Lost in Translation. Santini, Monalee, Real Steel, Delta Work. Album Photo by a length to Lost in Translation. Santini is staying on strongly. Very strongly. Album Photo. Back-to-back Gold Cups. Album Photo, the 8th multiple winner of the Cheltenham Gold Cup, holds off Santini, Lost in Translation.
Our producer has promised me he'll actually do his job next week and dig out something out of the archive, but this does give us a chance to properly debrief the race after we all rushed off I think one of us possibly left in a helicopter last week, but that's up for debate. Paddy, Album Photo, were you there for the Gold Cup?
I was there for the Gold Cup, actually, Tom, yeah.
And, oh, good man.
He was great. It was a really good race. It was a brilliant race. In fact, it was one of the races of the week. And I thought everything went, I suppose it went pretty much perfectly for Album Photo because he won. But like load of horses ran out of their skin. Like Monalee ran a cracker. Santini could have got there, was staying out at the end. I thought it was a fantastic race. There was no real hard luck stories and fair play to Paul Towns. You can see how much, like what a day for Willie Mullins really on the day. Like everything was kind of rolling for him. But I thought, yeah, it was one for the ages. I mean, like, there's something historic about it, because not just the circumstance for him, but also the fact that he's the first since Best Mate to win back-to-back. It's probably the new template for Gold Cup winners, isn't it? That run as little as possible before you get to Cheltenham and then have a go. But yeah, I thought he was brilliant, and there's no reason to see why he can't come back again next year and have another go.
Ruby, Paddy mentioned history there. Like, obviously, we all know now at this stage, it's been well documented he's retained his Gold Cup and he's the first horse to do it since Best Mate. But for you, in terms of performance, if you look at it in the cold light today, maybe he only just got there and Santini was closing on him. I know it's a fair achievement, but it wasn't necessarily the good thing that everyone maybe suggested he was before the race.
No, and I thought he got a particularly good ride. You know, the race had been run steadily for a Gold Cup, which that looked obvious beforehand. There was no real strong front runner, and I thought Paul Townend at the sixth last, fifth last to the fourth last got himself into a very, very good position, got in control of the race down to the third last. You could see Robert Power was very aware of that. He got up on his outside on Lost in Translation, and they were in pole position. They had too much speed for Santini off the bend, and they pushed a length or two on him. You know, I thought Robert Power delivered Lost in Translation with a perfect challenge going to the last, got a brilliant jump, landed in front, but Album Photo rallied down his inside, and as Paddy has said, Santini was then switched, and he was the one closing fastest of all. When you look back at it, Mona Lee didn't get that clear a passage at the top of the hill, going to four out. He ran into a bit of trouble even. The pace of the race probably didn't suit Delta work. Yeah, there was a lot of ifs and ands and buts and maybes that make for a great that will make for a great race next year. Now, I thought leaving there last year, Album Photo had been so impressive that, yeah, he could go and win a second Gold Cup. Would I be as convinced leaving this year that he'll win a third one? I'm probably not.
Yeah, because that brings me on quite nicely, Paddy, to talk about, like, how confident would you be for Album Photo to try and complete the hat-trick? I know we get sucked into talking about Cheltenham very early every year, but just in the context of looking back in the race, everyone thought he'd definitely do the double at least. But now, maybe the hat-trick maybe looks a little bit... He just didn't do it as impressively as he did the year before. And if you were to pick out something maybe to add a long-range one to kind of come and win next year's Gold Cup, what would it be, or would it be Album Photo?
Well, I think I'm interested to see what Ruby reckons about, like, it was a great tactics or just race ride, and the fact that Townend actually did change his mind or change his tactics during the race to get into the position he got into, because the pace wasn't there. But I think that was key, and I think the race wasn't run to suit Album Photo, wasn't run to suit Delta Work, but he still won. So, I mean, I think it's pretty harsh to be putting any negatives on it. He's after winning two Gold Cups. I think Santini is the obvious one. He looks that one. I was staying on towards the end, but I think the one I'd be most interested in is Lost in Translation, because the Tizard horses ran pretty crap during the week, to be honest. Like, none of them really challenged, and he ran way above that. And he had also had his bad King George and everything, and it had been so impressive earlier in the Betfair Chase. So that he's one that could keep developing as a youngish kind of horse, and one he'd be one I'd definitely have on my shortlist for next year. And then you're thinking back to the other, like the RSA was such a good race, you know. There's a few other the novels coming through as well. You'd definitely have your eye on.
We'll move on to chat about some other performances now and move away from the Gold Cup. Ruby, I think the one standout for a lot of people would probably be Envoy Alain, who came into the festival with a massive reputation, and he leaves with an even bigger reputation now. He's an incredible horse, isn't he?
Ah, he is, Tom. I think if someone said to you, look, go back to Cheltenham and pick one horse to bring home with you, I think Envoy Alain is the horse most people would take. He just looks incredibly versatile. He could easily be a champion hurdle horse, and there's no doubt he could be a Gold Cup horse as well. The racing world is completely at his feet. He seems to have everything. He's a great temperament. He's a great jumper. He's a turn of foot. He looks to have bags of stamina. He looks flawless, and he of all the hype horses last week, he was the one that probably delivered most emphatically.
In terms of that, Tom, for, like, just if you think about this year, we're bemoaning a crap champion hurdle. But next year, like, the winner was obviously very good, Epitante, as it turns out. Like, Goshen and the Triumph looked like, you know, obviously by the fall of the last was going to probably hack up in that. That's a proper champion hurdle. Envoy Alain, Shishkin, the speed horse, And Shishkin just touched off Abracadabra. So, I mean, like, we could have an unbelievable champion hurdle next year. And they all have to get there, of course. But, like, I mean, it could be the race of the season next year.
Yeah, because the Goshen was actually the next horse I was going to talk about, Ruby. He could be anything. A lot of people are wary about juveniles training on into open company over hurdles. But he looked like an exceptional juvenile hurdler. And despite the fall, his reputation probably still remains intact, doesn't it?
Oh, you'd have to think it is, Tom. It was heartbreaking to watch for Jamie Moore and Gary Moore and the owners. It was like it really knocked the fizz out of the first race on Friday, but he was a hell of a performance and he's a hell of a good racehorse. And yeah, look, providing everything goes to plan for everybody and all the horses for the next couple of months, it will be exciting.
Paddy, any other standout performances for you at the festival?
One of the most memorable is probably Champ. Even though I don't know, like, if that's a standout performance. I think the other two were slowing quicker than he was slowing or something. And it looked like he had a big burst of pace at the end. But I think he just basically managed to get home quicker than them. But that was like great to watch. You know, I thought the bumper as well. I thought Fernie Hollow was exceptional because we know how strongly fancy pre-tail it was before. But to win that easy, to come from last to first as well was very impressive. There was a load of good finishes this year, wasn't there? Like, it suggests there wasn't a huge amount between a lot of them, you know? So, cross country, I mean, I'm not sure. Like, that French horse, I can't remember his bloody name now.
Easy Land.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like he's hammered Tiger Roll, he's hammered the third home. So, he's probably there. He's probably going to be very short price favorite for the next couple of years anyway, Easy's Land. And going through it, I mean, there's loads of good performances, but loads of good finishes as well. I mean, the most memorable is probably Champ. The best performance is probably Envoy Allen in my view, and the Gold Cup looks open next year. Champion Hurdle looks open next year. Most biggest disappointment of the week was obviously Defi Desoid in the Champion Chase the whole round, and that takes away. Politologue was brilliant, to be fair, like absolutely brilliant. But at the same time, there's such a disappointment from the race we were all looking forward to. I suppose, like Ruby, the one you take away is either Goshen or Envoy Allen's, the two you'd pick up and stick in your horse box and bring them home, you know?
Ruby, I suppose one just quick word on Paul Townend and his ability, bounce back ability, I should say. Pressures for tyres.
Yeah, I never liked that statement, but it is something that all top sports people have to have, and that's the ability to get over a mistake and keep moving forward. And he showed that in spades, and I was delighted for him. I thought he was, by the end of the week, he had taken himself to a different level.
And you got a pretty emotional on the telly, Ruby. Is that like you or not like you? Was it just because he's a good mate type of thing, or like you just forget how to talk?
I forgot how to talk. But I know Paul since he came into the Arden Willys, and he's a very hardworking guy who very unassuming, very dedicated, has been through a lot in life, and when the pressure was on, he rose to the top, and I was delighted for him, and I just thought what he did by Friday evening cemented himself as one of the best riders around.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Now it's time for this week's tipping section. Lads, we have racing in Ireland Thurles on Saturday. Feature race of the day is the Pierce Maloney Memorial Novice Chase, Grade 3 at 3:10. Ruby, talk us through it.
It's usually Thurles on a Thursday, but it's Thurles on a Saturday this week. Competitive race, 9 runners, Size and Potsy, Capucha Mix, Done Vegan, 0-10, Cut the Mustard, Emily Moon. Few front runners in there as well, Tom. There'd be no shortage of pace. Thurles is a fast track anyway. I'd be worried about stamina for Cut the Mustard and for Done Vegan. And I think 0-10, even though he fell on his last start in Punchestown, David Mullins reunited with him. He could be the one and might have too many gears for Size and Potsy.
Paddy Power.
Funny, I was going for Size and Potsy, just going for his hat trick with Robbie Power up for Jessica Harrington. Youngish horse, only 6, but so one that could be improving a bit, probably giving a little bit of weight away, but I think Size and Potsy could be the one.
Sunday down, Patrick, the feature race of the day is the Randox Health Ulster National, and at 3:10. Ruby, possibly hard enough to find the winner here?
Oh, I'd say it is. I mean, obviously, if you catch me now, we'll be you know, to the forefront in many people's picks. She did win the national trial in Punchestown, which was a good performance, but Conor McNamara rode her that day, claimed £5 off her back. She has the penalty for winning plus the £5 claim because Paul Townend takes the ride on Sunday. And I thought maybe Cheb de Kervinu, who was third on that occasion and was second since in the Leinster National in Naas the Sunday before Cheltenham, was second to Cap York. I think around Downpatrick, maybe Cheb de Kervinu might be too good for If You Catch Me Now.
Paddy Power.
Unlike me, I haven't done a huge amount of research this week. So because everybody's got a lot of time on their hands, though, they can actually check what I'm about to say. They can fact check it if they want. But I think Gavin Cromwell pretty much can't train a loser at the moment. Everything he's going, he's thrown out there, seems to be winning. Jimmel won, beat Tracy's and Enniscorthy by 5 or 6 lengths at Navan last time out. And Tracy's and Enniscorthy is just a horse that's been so consistent all season. I know that's been overheard, but Jimmel here is number 2 on the card. He's coming on the back of a good win at Navan. He's Jonathan Moore is up for Gavin Cromwell. And just because the stable seems to be flying at the minute, I think, but check that. And that's why I'm over him.
Very good. Paddy Flat is back on Monday. Have you anything to keep an eye out for?
I could tell you of the power horses, so of Mum and Dad's horses, there's a couple of younger ones that would be like not excited, but like looking forward to a few of the 2-year-olds. Mostly more exposed older horses are not up to much, so not much there. So I don't know, to be honest with you, Sean. I'm probably the last man to be asked about this at this stage. I'm still full on National Hunt mode in my head.
Very good. If I had to pick one out for the flat season ahead, Valeria Messalina for Jessie Harrington. She was second on her second start as a 2-year-old in the Group 3 Also Sharp Stakes at Newmarket. Could be worth following through the season. I won't ask Ruby for one, as I know he hasn't looked, but one man who almost certainly will have one to follow on the flat, speaking from his lair in County Meath, is Top Trader and our great friend, Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are you?
Not too bad. Haven't seen or spoken to anyone bar my wife or child for, was it 4 days? So, cabin fever setting in. And I've been Googling how to pay the least amount possible in a divorce as well. 2 or 3 months of this now probably wouldn't be the best.
Well, at least we've got some racing to look forward to, Frank. Obviously, strange times, but we're still racing behind closed doors in Ireland. And we've got Thurles to look forward to on Saturday. The big race there is the Pierce Maloney Memorial Novice Chase at 3:10. We were speaking to Paddy and Ruby there earlier. Ruby thought 0:10 would have a good chance here.
I would agree with him. I actually priced this race anti-post earlier in the week and I had 0:10 clear favourite. He did fall the last day, but I'd be willing to forgive him. He was travelling nicely before that. And just looking through his form, like... he's a solid 140 plus horse. He was second to Cashback at Naas earlier in the year. That reads well. Won over this trip at Galway last year. Sizing Potsy has to concede a penalty. The only thing I'd be worried about with Sizing Potsy is he was very strong in the finish at Navan and was very impressive. But I think a big galloping track like Navan would really suit him. And I'm not sure Thurles, which is a lot tighter, would be ideal for him. I could just see them maybe 0:10 a couple more getting away from them around those tight bends. But for me, 0:10 would be the one to beat. And I'd be quite keen on them actually.
Anything else for you at Thurles on Saturday, Frank?
Yeah, funnily enough, maybe it's because I haven't got to look at much racing for a few days, but there's a few I thought were very interesting. A recent favourite of ours, Politesse, runs in a maiden hurdle at 140 over 2 miles. She might be a little bit of a price because she's going to be getting £7 from Thackerina of Gordon Elliott. And of course, we have Atorian Flame, better known as The Flame to the lads, the Blackrock Racing Club. The two of them might be ahead of her in the market. Fakira was second to Antuca and John Snow at Torian Flame, fourth Cedarwood Flame at Leopardstown at Christmas. But obviously Politesse was fast finishing second in a grade 2 bumper at Leopardstown, the Dublin Race Festival, and she won over course and distance here in a bumper last time. I think she'd be interesting. Depending on her price, she might be worth the play. Mary Frances looks solid in the conditions hurdle at 2:10. She might get an easy lead here. I thought Jamie Summers maybe might take her on, but I doubt she'd be able to. Mary Frances won a pretend qualifier here the last day. Relegate was fourth there. I think just the way the race is set up, it might suit her. Carl Gross is the unknown. We haven't seen him in a year since he was pulled up in a novice hurdle here at Thurles. But I think Mary Frances looks solid. One I'm very interested in the 3:40 in the 2.5 mile handicap chase is Wrong Direction. Very lightly raced Hunter Chaser won a point at Drumahan last April from Decor Ireland Day. That horse was second in a grade 2 hurdle at Warwick earlier this year. in a hunter chase at Cork last November, he was beaten a neck caught on the line by It Came to Pass. It Came to Pass, extremely impressive winner of the Fox Hunter Cheltenham last year. He's running here in a handicap off 114. He ran the Punchtown handicap earlier this season off a mark of 120, but that was over 3 miles five. He was very well backed, went off 6-1, but he didn't get home at all. His stamina didn't hold out. The way he travels, I think this triple really suited with Simon Tarns, take 7 off. I think he's very well treated off 114. The last one I'm going to mention in Thurles is the 410 beginners chase. We've got Dorman Park and Max Dynamite in there. Neither of them would impress you with the way they jump. I'd be willing to take them on. And Mythbuster caught my eye at Leopardstown when third behind Easy Game and Aloha at Christmas. He was outclassed in a grade one behind Faheen since, but if you go back to even Navin before the Leopardstown run behind Easy Game, he was travelling really well when unseating four out. And just with holes in Dortmund Park and Max Dynamite, he might be a little bit of a price. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turned them over.
Comprehensive look at the Thurles card from Frank Hickey. We'll move on to Sunday. Downpatrick, Frank, the feature race on the card at Downpatrick's 3:10. It's the Randox Ulster National. A minefield, to say the least. Would you have any suggestion of the winner here?
Well, first of all, we're going to be paying an extra place here. We're only paying four places. Just to mention as well, we have an MBS money back special if you're second, third, or fourth in the 3:10 Thurles on Saturday, just for anyone playing that 0:10 race. But I thought Amelino might be able to follow up his win in the race last year. And that was good ground last year. This is a far better renewal than we've seen the last couple of years. Just to put in context, last year and the year before, a mark of 109 would have got you into the race. This year, bottom weight's running off 123. The last in's off 123. So it's a far stronger renewal. But Amelino was impressive when winning this last year. Very strong at the finish. Obviously, course form. Downpatrick's a bit of a unique track. So I think course form is relevant. I was a little bit worried about the ground when I went back to see he beat Kaiser Black in a novice chase at Tipperary on soft ground in 2018. So that form reads well. He should handle the ground. He's only £8 higher, but they're claiming 7 off him, and he's a big price. I think he's about 14 or 16 to 1. He'll do each way for me with the extra place.
Anything else for you at Downpatrick, Frank?
Just to keep an eye on, Bally Adam goes in the bumper at Downpatrick. It'll probably be no price at all, but I think everyone was disappointed with his run at Navan, but in hindsight, it mightn't have been that bad. Julie Stowaway ended up being 7th, the winner that day, was 7th in the champion bumper, and Delvino, who was 2nd, has come out and won easily since in a bumper as well. And just in the 2:10, the rated hurdle, with Jaha for Charles Burns, was one to keep an eye on for market support. Was rated in the 80s at a stage in the UK, went to Dennis Hogan, didn't show a whole pile for him, but on his second start for Charles Burns, in beautiful Charles style, he was hammered in the market and absolutely ran away with the race. Now, it was only a handicap off 106, but the way he won, you think he could rate a lot higher. His mark has gone up to 120. He's down the bottom here in this rated hurdle. If the market support is strong, I think he might be able to follow up.
Frank, the flat returns in Ireland and Nace on Monday. We've got the first two-year-old maiden of the year and the flat turf season, I should say. Have you anything to follow through the flat season?
Just one that's a little bit interesting. Just I had a quick look at Nace there earlier in the week and broke for Dermot Weld. Won a maiden on his first start to Cork last year. That race worked out particularly well. Now he's entered up against Sir Dragonet and Pondus in the Devoy Stakes at Nace. Now, Stragney obviously went close in the Derby. Pondus went off a short price at Royal Ascot. But this broke, and we've seen a bit of support for him. And he was impressive the day Cork he won his maiden. He really could be anything. He's one to keep an eye on. He might be more forward than the other two. Pondus on his first start for Joseph. He's one that could run well and could progress through the season.
Very good. Frankie, your best bet for the weekend?
I'm going to say wrong direction at Thurles in the 3:40.
Lovely stuff, Frank. Thanks a million for joining us. Mind yourself, stay safe, and we'll talk to you hopefully next week. And that was this week's tipping section. Just time for a couple of questions from social media. We'll start with what we've touched on already, actually, but very quickly in a word. Paddy at Big Bad Luther asks, Goshen champion hurdle winner 2021. How impressed were you by him?
I think he's got a great chance. I think he'd be in the mix, but a very, very tough race next year.
At Kieran Burke asks, Ruby, are you surprised British Racing decided to so quickly against racing behind closed doors? It seems to be working very well here in Ireland. Obviously, Ruby, you were down, I think I saw you on the telly in Limerick at a meeting behind closed doors the other day. Is it working? It seems to be working very well, is it?
It is. It was actually the most boring day I ever spent the rest of my life. Nobody to talk to. They weren't allowed to talk to anyone anyway, but no one to talk to. And it was just so long. But yeah, I think it's a completely different reason, Tom, that racing has closed down in the UK. The ambulance service that they use is government ambulances in the UK. So it has had to close down. In Ireland, we use the Order of Malta, which aren't used by the government. They may well be required by the government in the future, but the UK do use government ambulances, so that's why it's gone.
And a question for the two of you, just to round out, at E. Laseo, Elton Laseo asks, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Barry Geraghtys or one Barry Geraghty-sized duck?
Repeat the question, Tom.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Barry Geraghtys or one Barry Geraghty-sized duck?
Or one. I'd always be for taking on one. Taking on 100. Never be outnumbered in anything.
Would Barry Geraghty be? Would you think you'd be? Would 100 Barry Geraghty-sized ducks be something to be afraid of, do you think?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they would.
Paddy, which would you prefer?
It's a stupid question because it's quite obvious the answer. The answer is obviously what you'd rather fight one giant duck because you know what you're up against. And it's actually not that giant because Barry Geraghty is a jockey. Therefore, he's only about, I don't know what, he's probably at 5'9 or 5'10. So I'd have a couple of inches on him. He wouldn't be as heavy as me because he's Barry Geraghty size. Now, he'd be a duck, but that means he's got feet and a beak. I don't know if ducks have teeth, but I've got arms. So, you know, I'd fancy myself against one duck, but 100 of them, you have no chance.
Very good. Right, that's it for another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. Thanks for bearing with us on the whole podcasting from home malarkey. We'll be back next week when we may have a literary treat up our sleeves for you. We'll have to wait and see what that is. Until then, for me, Tom Nugent, it's big thanks to Paddy.
All right.
A big thanks to Ruby.
Cheers, Tom. My broadband is obviously working so much better than Paddy's because there was no delay there.
Very good. And a big thanks to Mr. Frank Hickey. And thanks indeed to you for listening. Stay safe, mind yourselves, and goodbye for now.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
Cheers, lads. Thanks
Cheers,
very much.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Well done.
All right.